everybody. Welcome to the Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 343. A little different configuration. Josh is off gallivanting in the wilds of Minnesota.
So. I wouldn't call Minneapolis the wilds of Minnesota.
Well, it's the wilds. It's the Midwest. It's the North. It's the Great White North.
I mean, I know that's the name of their hockey team, but it's not really. Yeah, it's a city.
Is it on a lake?
I would assume.
Okay.
I mean, I've never been to
Minneapolis.
They
have 10,000 lakes up there. So.
Lake Minnetonka.
Sure. Well, we hope you're having fun, Josh. Abandoning us. You guys make rely on Pat to do all the reviews this week.
Oh, we're screwed.
So.
I can count on one finger the number of books I read this week.
But the people here are joining me. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Spencer.
That's it. That's the group. This is your crew for tonight. So, and so I don't get yelled at, a big shout out to Matt for helping me with my hardwood floors. Told me I didn't give him a nice shout out last week, so there you go, right off the bat. There we go. Don't remember any big news this week.
No,
I don't remember seeing much of anything. There was a little brouhaha that happened this morning that I wanted to talk about just because I found it funny and informative.
Is this your rant?
This is my rant.
Okay,
just sit back for a minute.
It's not a rant so much, but
No, you promised rant.
The new
The
new Isola graphic novel came out. This is Brendan Fletcher and Carl Kershaw doing this. And a store asked on Twitter, maybe it was yesterday, that where was there was supposed to be a preview of something. And he's like, you know, it wasn't in my copy. What's going on? And Carl Kershaw responded back that that was only in the Barnes & Noble exclusive version. That included this preview and then some extra, like, production pages, sketches, and artwork and stuff. And I just found it very odd that they would do an exclusive without telling us, but would do an exclusive for Barnes & Noble, who really had nothing to do with promoting the book or doing anything with it, and then after telling us we were getting stuff to take that away and put it only in the exclusive one. So the response from retailers was not, it wasn't unkind, but it was kind of not cool, was kind of the thing. You know, it's like, we've been pushing your book, we've been promoting your book, and now you're going another way with your marketing of it. It's like, okay, but from now on, your books aren't really getting carried or pushed in my store. And I definitely think that was something they didn't take into account. It's like, this one, you know, Isola is already selling what it's going to sell, you know, it's doing fine, nothing great, just it is. But the next time they come out with a book, with a new number one, I'm going to say a lot of retailers are going to sit back a little more and, you know, not say, hey, have you read? It'll just be, yeah, it'll be there on the shelf, but there won't be as many and there won't be the effort. Another retailer was kind of defending them, saying, you know, it's not their fault and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's Image, so they had complete control over something like this. And I said they'd kind of discounted the fact that they ask stores to push their book and promote their book and do hand-selling of their book because it's a fantasy story, it's not mainstream, things like that, and then to completely discount the effort that those people did towards this. You know, the work they did selling this book only to have them say, oh, thanks for doing that, we're going to sell it at Barnes & Noble now, we don't need you anymore. Just seemed a little harsh, and that's what what my response was along the lines of, you know, I realize it's hard to market to 2,500 individual stores that all make their individual buying decisions, but you also they have to remember that we're also deeply invested in our stores and what we carry, both personally and financially. So we have the final say on what we carry, whereas the people at Barnes & Noble don't care. They put down, you know, a number in a box and move on. It's based solely on if it sells or not. They won't, you know, stand there, oh, this didn't sell as well, let's push it a little. They'll just send back whatever doesn't sell.
You'd think a lesser known or a smaller publisher would be more concerned about how they treat
So it was just very odd that it was
retailers.
Just kind of, you know, well, you know, we're doing this, too bad. It was a very odd thing. And nobody was unprofessional towards them, but this person was, you know, very much defending them. And I was kind of just like, no, they need to know that we're not pleased because they did this.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems odd to, you know, give a better product to someone who has done nothing for you.
Right.
And discount the people that you're going to be asking for stuff in the future. And all of a sudden, you'll win the next book, doesn't get the support you think it deserved. Maybe think back to this time we can do more.
Hopefully they respond the correct way.
So we'll see. But it was just one of those things this morning. I'm just like, wow, that was very short-term thinking. Yeah, great. You know, you sold a bunch to Barnes & Noble. Awesome. Yeah. But are they going to buy your next book too?
Yeah.
Will your next book make it to a trade or will it be canceled, you know, because of lack of support from us on the issues, you know? Like they always say, the books are paid for in the comics, and then
the trades is where they're
making the money. So it's like, that's great. You cashed in, you got a deal at Barnes & Noble, good for you.
Yeah.
But let's look at where it is going forward, and you can't say, oh, the direct market is failing, it's not supporting us. You kind of didn't support us either. You went for the big box store. So that's my rant. I just found it interesting and a little disappointing. So, we did have some questions. One question I got emailed, somebody was asking, let me see, I don't remember where that was, but it was asking about donating comics to the military, and if anybody had done that.
I don't know that was a thing you could do.
Donate anything.
You're right, or if anybody had a, something they've used.
I've heard about programs. I think there's some specific organizations that collect comics, to send to the military overseas.
So, well, wasn't that kind of like a bigger thing back in the day during like World War One and or Two? Like, then wasn't they always shipping like comics mm-hmm. over for like the troops to read or something? I remember seeing that in like a documentary or something.
Okay.
Shoot, I apologize. I can't find that email. You'd think it wouldn't be that hard to find. There it is. Okay. I'm considering donating my comic collection to care packages for soldiers. I found a few places online that organize this type of drive, but was wondering if anyone at the table could recommend any of the particular charities they may have donated comics to before. I haven't done it, so no. Sorry, Clay. Nobody's done anything. I mean, it's a great thing to do, but I don't have any experience with it to be able to answer anything. You okay over there?
No.
You're gurgling away.
Put them on blast on the radio. I mean, damn, dude.
Let's see. Then we did get a couple more questions. Brandon asks, favorite horror comics?
Do you want me to answer? Because you told me to stop whining about it earlier.
I love the old Ghosts from back in the 70s. I remember getting a bunch of those, and they were always fantastic. Oh, you know what? But my absolute favorite.
That was me.
My absolute favorite is I was reminded Joe Jusko on Facebook is doing 31 Days of Bernie Wrightson and posting a different piece of art from him. And he posted a cover that he did to Twisted Tales, which was a Pacific Comics book that came out in the early 80s. And it was like somebody walking, and they had like this belt with like shrunken heads on it.
Yeah.
And I remember that. I commented saying, oh man, I remember buying that and hoping my mom wouldn't look to see what I had because I knew it was so wrong. Especially because I remember those issues had Corbin art and there was some nudity inside. And I remember just, being, oh, I'm reading something I shouldn't be, as I was 12 or 13.
I remember that cover too. That really freaked me out.
Yeah. So that was good. But so I'd say Twisted Tales from Pacific, which it was along the same lines as the Ghosts, which just had little different stories in them. So, Dave, I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, never read a lot of... I don't know if I've read a lot of horror. Some...
Casper.
Casper, Friendly Ghost, yeah. Of course.
Frankencastle.
I like Frankencastle.
I remember one of my favorite runs is Grant Morrison's Animal Run. Peter Milligan did some weird stuff with Animal Man. It was kind of after that.
Okay.
Be considered kind of a horror book, because they actually, like, made him into, like, an animal, kind of, with the animal okay. tendencies.
Yeah, Animal Man was pretty cool.
But, I mean, can't think of anything better than that right now.
I was a big fan of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's my pick.
And that's...
That was really good.
And it was a book that I never thought I would like, but it's just... was really good, and they just stopped coming out.
You're still
out
enjoying it, though, right?
I am.
Have you seen the trailers for the show?
I have.
Man, those yeah. look good.
Yeah.
Those look really good.
I thought that started this week.
Maybe.
You think it's that soon?
Yeah, either this week or next week
on,
at the latest.
Yeah, I think on Friday it's...
Okay.
It's released 26, whenever that is.
That's... Yeah, it's Friday.
Okay.
Spencer?
I don't know, like, I haven't, like, read anything strictly horror. Like, I guess, like, you know, I read, like, Vertigo and Image, thing that, like, darker kind of stuff, but nothing like, you know, like, Constantine and, like, you know, like, the Hellblazer series, like, that kind of stuff. But, so I guess I'd probably have to go with something like that, or, there was a, there's this independent guy, Derek Manning, who put out... I think you might actually have one or two of his trades. He does a...
Nightmare World?
Yeah, Nightmare World. And he has a... which are just kind of like these... Like, four or five... like anthology series that he's written with different artists, which are pretty cool. And then he has a... Terra... Tale of Mystery, so mystery, and those all kind of intertwine into, like, a bigger kind of story, so I guess, like, that kind of stuff, but I'm not, like, a huge, it's kind of hard sometimes to get the horror across properly in, like, the comic format, I feel sometimes, just with, like, you know, holding that suspense, you know, and building it up mm-hmm. in you know, in a reading format like that. But.
Okay. Next question we had is from this guy named Josh. He says, we always seem to focus on the bad things that pop up in the comics industry, so what recent developments or trends give you hope for the future of the industry? Pat!
After finding out Moon Knight got canceled today, not a whole lot.
It didn't get canceled, it just ended.
Well, same difference.
Not necessarily.
What's the difference?
Canceled indicates failure.
Is there going to be another issue?
No, but the story ended.
Then it was canceled.
Nothing. You see no hope for the industry.
No, it's not even a matter of I see no hope. There's a lot of hatred. I mean, there's a lot of hatred in general, and that's part of the problem. I mean, there are some good books coming out, and there are some more, you know, inclusive things, and that's good. I'm not a fan of taking a character that has an established history and changing their origin and you know, I get the fact that it's easier to take an established character like Iceman and make him gay rather than create a brand new gay character. Although they've had North Star for years and...
Don't do anything with him.
Yeah. But, so I get that. And it's weird because while that's happening, I think the vocal minority is screaming about things like that. And I don't know if that's... I think the fact that there's more coming out is a good thing. But like anything else, books come out for a certain audience. I don't want to read Squirrel Girl. It may be the best book. It's just not for me.
But that doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be made.
No, it should be made because... I'm a straight white male, you know, in my 40s. while I may be the, while
you
I
just
may
don't
be,
fit in the demographic.
Well, while I may be, you know what, a lot of the typical comic book shop customer is,
yeah.
I also realize that's not a good demographic because,
yeah.
you know, how many more years am I going to buy comic books? What are you doing to bring in, you know,
more
new
people.
Kids? What are you doing to bring in, you know, different kids, you know, minorities, whatever, you know, the Miss Marvel book is a prime example where they created a character. Now, granted, she was kind of appropriated from Captain Marvel, at least in name. And certainly, you know, that's part of her story, is that was her inspiration. That's fine. Again, not a book that's necessarily for me, but if it brings in, you know, minorities, or if it brings in young girls, or if it brings in, that's a good thing. That's
yeah.
good for the industry as a whole. But the industry has challenges. I mean, you know, when you look at even 5 years ago, I think the industry, you know, there was more buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't blame the books necessarily, but you got, there's a lot more TV shows, there's a lot more movies. There's kind of an over, a saturation of geek and comic book culture. But even that, I don't see that as a negative. I mean,
yeah.
you know, who would have thought 15 years ago you would have gotten, you know, 3 seasons of a Daredevil TV show? You know, who would have
seven
thought...
Seven of a Green Arrow...
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, who would have thought there would have been a Jessica Jones TV show? Well,
yeah.
I mean, she didn't exist 20 years ago, but, you know, who would have thought...
An Iron Fist TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
In Riverdale. I
yeah.
say Riverdale. Who would have thought?
Well, but there have been Archie shows before.
Yeah.
Not in that vein.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really curious about that Sabrina show. To see kind of how far they take it being on Netflix. Because it is still an Archie property.
Yeah, yeah, I am interested to see how far if they go, because that book goes really far in some spots.
It definitely goes right up to the hairy edge at points. So.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see where it goes.
That would be interesting.
But I think those are all good things. You know, when most of us were kids, you know, you kind of had to hide the fact you were a comic book fan or you get your ass beat. Now it's, you know, you can be proud of it, and you can tell people, oh, yeah, I read comic books, and you don't have to worry about the ridicule. That's, you know, so that's good, and I think that for the future, that will help create the next generation of artists and the next generation of writers. I am concerned that possibly the medium of the traditional comic may go away or may... decline, but I think, you know, the idea of stories will be there. Comic books are modern mythology.
Yeah.
People, you know, we don't have the Greek gods. We have Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash. I mean, you know, they are direct analogs of the Greek gods, you know, the Roman gods. So, you know, this is our mythology, and the medium that we consume them in may change. But I think they'll be there. And the more support they get, I think it's good.
Yeah.
See, so I can be positive.
There you go. Look at that.
Coherent argument.
Josh's mind.
Blown. Didn't drop an F-bomb either.
Dave's happy about that.
I know.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome, Dave. You too, Dave.
You can drop all the F-bombs you like.
Come on, Colin, close your store. What
and
the hell?
Hey, I'm here. I'm open. Spencer? Pressure's on. Don't panic.
I like a lot, because I've been going to a lot more conventions recently, and it's seen bigger conventions and smaller conventions, and it seems like at both the... Like the hatred you was talking about, sometimes you don't haven't had to deal with a lot of that at like shows and stuff like that. There's been a lot of friendly people, creator-wise and friend-wise. Like, you know, you normally don't have... I haven't had to really deal with anybody being too much of, like, a jerk. And just, like, a lot of just people being able to come...
Just Caleb.
Yeah, just Caleb, but, you know. Well, you know, just people coming together and enjoying different aspects of geekdom, if it's comic books, if it's anime or cosplay, and just being able to come to a place and not have to, you know, really worry about anybody being too big of a jerk with that kind of stuff. So I like seeing that and hope that, you know, continues to move forward.
For me, I was very excited about with what DC had coming. I really
more bat penis.
Not so much that, but just the idea of Black Label. The idea
now
of
penis furry.
The idea of letting a creator just take a character. Here, you know, Kelly Sue, you want to do a Wonder Woman book? Here, do it. It doesn't matter what's going on in her book. Just tell the best Wonder Woman story you have. Things like that, I think, is great for the industry. That gives us not only top creators on top characters with a book coming out in monthly or whatever that format, but then it also gives us a graphic novel that's going to be, hopefully, an evergreen, something that we can sell
But that's a double-edged sword, because with Black Label specifically, because it's mature readers, if you got a kid coming in, like, you can't say, oh, here's a Batman book for you. Yeah, like, well, and Batman's even bad because you can do Long Halloween, you can do,
right,
you know,
right,
year
but
one, but, like, Wonder Woman, I just walk in off the street, you know, with my niece and say,
right,
hey, I'm looking for a Wonder Woman book. You can't really give her a Black Label
no,
book.
No, you can't, but there's a lot more adults buying comics.
I agree.
And I'd rather have, like, I have people come in, oh, I want a real good Spider-Man story, what do you have?
You got a $50 Craven's Last Hunt book.
Right. And then, you know, it's just kind of, there's not like a specific great storyline.
Yeah.
That you can come up with. Even like X-Men, what are you going to look at? Like Days of Future Past or.
That was two issues.
Black. Or the Dark Phoenix Saga or something. Mm. You know, we need more stuff like this where
and
I can just.
They have it in print in like trade.
Right. But I'm just saying,
you can even give it to
instead
them.
Of, oh, here's this 8 volume of the last Spider-Man run. Here's
yeah.
a great, you know, here's a sample. Here's Wonder Woman. Here's a Green Lantern book. Here's a, so I
but
think in that sense it's great.
So Black Label's fine, but I think they should do something similar, not necessarily an all ages book, but one that isn't skewed towards mature readers.
Right, and
so you do have that.
I don't think they're all necessarily mature readers, but it is a case of do what you want.
See,
but
I thought all of them were
going
to be
so.
Mature
well,
readers.
Well, we've only had one solicitor.
Yeah, but no, I thought
so.
All of them were supposed to be.
I don't know if they're supposed
readers.
To be. So, okay. But I like the idea of that. I like the idea of what they have going on with Zoom and Ink for the younger readers. Original graphic. It hasn't come out yet, but just the idea of it, I like.
Well, yeah, a lot of that stuff that Bendis is doing.
Yeah,
doing
that new
gonna
stuff,
be more
the kid stuff. Yeah.
Going to be more toted towards the kid angle, right?
So I just see they have a real great.
With the Wonder Twins.
Yeah, they have a great breadth of product that they're coming out with, where I still look at Marvel as pretty much still. On the same ship going forward, but there's not a whole lot of tangents and a lot of different things.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, you know, even just things like Mr. Miracle and things that doesn't necessarily fit in with the rest of the thing, again, that's going to be a standalone book you can read.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I really like. You know, volume 4 of, you know, Thor, not so much. So, not to slam on Marvel, but I think Marvel has done it in the past, like with their Epic Illustrated and stuff like that. I think they might want to think about getting back to it, because I think between what's going on in Image, and then you also have, you know, the things like the Burger books, the Black Crown, you have now, you know, Vertigo is getting a little resurgence, so I think there's a lot of variety out there right now, and I think it's really good to get that going. So, that's my positive. Dave no,
yep.
doesn't do anything
Dave has
positive.
No positivity.
He is just
whatsoever.
Mr. Negative.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think there's ever been a more wider variety of stories available for people, no matter who you are or what you like. Other, you know, superheroes.
Yeah, there's definitely
crime,
something out there for everybody.
Crime, science fiction, fantasy. I mean, there's never been more publishers. If there's a TV show you like, there's probably a comic book of it.
The one downside to that is that I think a lot of these, like these smaller publishers, just kind of put out the books. There's not necessarily that market for them. That
yeah.
was one thing. that Joe Field did a little post that talking about needing to look at things again, but he says part of the problem is there's so many books out there that I'm selling between, you know, 4 and 6 copies of, and it's just really hard because they take up the same space as the book selling 30, and, you know, there's just so much of this out there, and it makes it, you know, when all of a sudden I'm only selling 2 to the same guys, do I keep ordering that 3rd for the shelf, or do I need to stop and pull that and put something else there? You know, it's just, it's there is so much stuff. There is so much stuff out there, and one of the things that came up, maybe it needs to be a little better curated. You know, why are you putting this book out? What, where does this book fit? I get it. It's your idea. You wrote, you drew it great, but we need a reason for having this book. And it, I mean, not universally, but when you start looking at, you know, some of the stuff we're getting from Image and from Aftershock, just kind of similar things, themes and things like that.
3 Red Sonja books.
Tell me about it.
3 Rick and Morty books.
Yeah.
2 Robotech books. You know, I don't know what they sell, but I can't imagine that they sell enough to where you want to...
Right, and it's just, you know, maybe step back a little. We don't need as much... And even, you know, how many, you know, post, you know, disaster books or, you know, the government has collapsed books, and there definitely seems to be some themes that
people
we keep
getting
into.
People write what they know, man.
I hear you. But, so that'd be my only... Not a negative, but... No. There's so much good stuff that the chances are, if you're a little guy, that book's going to get lost.
Well, you're not even necessarily a little guy. I mean, Marvel could put out a great book, but, you know, I'm only reading so much, and, you know, at this point, I'm less likely to take a flyer on a Marvel book because I've been burned so many times. But it could be a great book. I mean, you know, Vision. This is a good example. Yeah. A book I didn't read because I like the writer, but I'm like, it's Marvel. I can't trust it.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't have to be a little guy where that book gets lost.
True. Okay.
That was a lot of positivity.
I think that answered our questions. Hopefully that answered everybody's questions.
So Josh is the one that brings all the negativity.
He is, clearly. Clearly. Which is a shame. Maybe we need to, you know, have a little talk.
Intervention?
Yes. Let me make sure we didn't get any additional questions. Nope. Nothing.
Sit them down. Listen, Eeyore.
Okay. So, who wants to go first? Dave, why don't you go first?
Okay.
Twist his arm.
Another new series from Ahoy Comics, Captain Ginger. Number one.
Yes, I read that. Yes. That was interesting.
That was very interesting. Written by Stuart Moore, and June Brigman is drawing this. She drew the first 17 issues of Power Pack.
Okay.
Back in the day, I was like, yeah, that's her. But it's about these cats on a starship.
Yep.
They've inherited the starship after all the feeders...
I love that. That's the name for humans.
Died out because of a plague or something, and they're on this ship with Captain Ginger's the captain, of course, and
they don't know exactly what's going on, but they're just kind of out.
And the crew includes Sergeant Mittens and Science Cat.
Then there is something weird with that other cat with like this creature or like. Deity or something that creates things.
Yeah, like the maker or something.
Yeah, something. So I'm not sure what's up with that.
Yeah, I didn't.
That was the one real interesting part of the book.
So they find the space station. I like how the cats, they act like cats.
Yep.
They find the space station and they want to stay there. They want to stay there.
Because there's mice.
There's
rats.
And there's radiators.
Yeah, and it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to stay there, and the captain's like, I lost my ship. You know, we need to keep going and figure out what's going on. They beat this one guy at the beginning. They were being attacked.
Yeah, there's this alien called the Lumen.
Who apparently killed all the humans, and now they're coming for the cats. But they got out of it by, like, causing a distraction and going for the belly. Like, they... So they beat that, and that's when they then zapped off and found the space station. But at the end... And it was neat because... and then he goes and talks to his mom, who's just horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Captain Ginger, after he loses his entire crew to the space station. And then he goes and basically has a fight.
His mom's on catnip.
Yeah, no, there was catnip. And there's feral cats on the ship as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But... And the chief engineer gives birth during this crisis, and then all the little cats are helping her. They needed more power. So that was funny.
I like too when they show the screen with like the laser blast, and all the cats start
clawing at the screen. Yeah. It was really good.
How about we talk cat into it?
He picks a fight with his former first mate who led the group onto the space station.
Yeah.
And after they fought, and it wasn't a real fight, it was more like a play fight, and they realized that, you know, they're friends and everybody comes back.
Right.
But it was neat that he realizes the big epiphany is that he needs to think like a cat, not try to think like a feeder, mm-hmm. and not run the ship like feeders would do it. They need to do it their own way.
Yeah.
So, but no, it was different. It was great. But I'm like, it's not just, you know, cat anthropomorphized cats. It's actually trying to make the cats cats.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're not like human cats. Yeah. They're actually cats.
Yeah. It was just, definitely a different book. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Okay. These are cats.
Yeah.
Clawed up the chair.
Yeah, but still, not trying to make them cat people.
Right, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So that was fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
Cats barfing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
the head medical guy is dying of cancer. But they don't know that because they don't know what cancer is.
Another weird book, Black Hammer, okay. Age of Doom, number 6. Still not going to give away the last issue. The previous issue was like so explains, you know, how they got off the farm and where they are now. I'm not going to give that away, but in this issue, Colonel Weird becomes separated from the group, and he ends up on this other planet that keeps changing every few minutes, like from a post-apocalyptic wasteland to like a big city, and he finds this. This character whose name is Inspector Insector, who's like a hard-boiled detective who's a bug. And he takes him underground to find all these... there's these heroes from, like, forgotten stories.
Okay.
Soldier X, I think Mr. Grizzly, and there's some, like, animal heroes, Ham Sandwich, who's a pig, and Golden Goose... It is just to go back. It reminded me to go back to Animal Man on Grant Morrison's Animal Man. Animal Man goes into limbo and he finds all these characters
the forgotten heroes.
Yeah, like the Inferior Five who are in limbo, and it reminded me of that. But there's a different artist. It was like pop art, kind of like Mike Allred.
Okay,
it just. It was really good. Jeff Lemire, he just keeps changing it up in this series. You just never know what to expect. And big cliffhanger that ties, starting to tie into everything. So hopefully next issue I'll talk about how they got off the farm and everything. So hopefully everybody's read it by then. Archie 1941, number 2. This takes place in 1941.
What?
The year Archie was created. And the first issue, it started with, there's graduation day, May 1941, and everybody's, Archie and Betty and Veronica, Jughead, they're all graduating from high school. And this issue starts on December 8th. 1941, with Archie at the movie theater watching newsreels on Pearl Harbor. And Mark Waid's writing this, and he's doing a good job. You know, there's a real sense of foreboding and because Archie, he doesn't know what to do with his life, and his dad's mad because Archie doesn't know what to do with his life in, as a graduate with a world at war, okay. The United States at war, and Moose is enlisting. Veronica's in denial. She says, her dad says, this will all be over by Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, and the parents, Archie's dad and Betty's dad, they're at the bowling lane and they get drunk, and they decide to go down to the recruitment office to enlist because they're like feeling guilty because they missed out on World War One. So it's like it's really, you know, some mature themes in this. He's doing a really good job. Mark Waid and Peter Krause. And lastly, I bought a graphic novel by Ed Brubaker.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. All my friends are drunkies.
My heroes have always been junkies.
Dave, you need better heroes. Huh?
I know. I'm not going to give this Well, I think this was kind of a miss for me.
Okay.
It's about this girl named Ellie. She's an 18-year-old girl, and she goes into drug rehab, and it's like rich. In this rehab clinic for rich people, and she meets. This is under Ed Brubaker's criminal series, and she has idol. And her mom died from being a junkie, and she has idolized these romanticized drug use, you know, among celebrities her entire life. So she tells all these stories about Judy Garland and Marilyn Monroe and Lenny Bruce and how she's idolized them all her life. While she's in rehab, she meets this other guy, Skip, and they leave the rehab center, and they're spending time breaking into houses, abandoned houses, so they can sleep. And there's a twist at the end that kind of just makes everything really sad. Of course, you know, this is for adults. There's a lot of drugs and drug use. And I just find it hard. There's like no redeeming values to these characters at all. So you couldn't like root for the girl or the guy at all. So I had a really hard time with that. But it was, I mean, it was really well written and everything. But
you just didn't like any of the characters.
But yeah. I'm gonna give it another read. Sometime to see if my opinion changes, but kind of have a hard time recommending it because of that. That's all I got.
Pat, want to talk about your book?
Sure. Batman.
Stuff happened.
Stuff did happen.
Batman did something that seemed very un-Batman-y to me.
Batman did several things that seem un-Batman-y, but...
Yes. I had several problems with this one, yeah.
So, it was an oddly framed story.
I didn't quite understand the fable.
Well, the fox is a dick. That was the moral that I got to.
Fair enough.
But, so it starts off with KG Beast asking his father to read him a story. So it's the fable of five animals that fall into a hole, and the fox says, okay, we're going to starve, so we'll have a singing contest. Whoever sings the meekest will be eaten.
Which I think is how they should do, like, American Idol and everything like that.
Eat them?
Yeah.
Just eat them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes me really think if you, like,
sing for your supper.
Yeah, like, you know, it makes people really like.
Do I really want to be on this show?
It's an interesting concept. Yeah. I mean, you know, a little dark, but okay.
That's how they do it at Walmart. Oh,
that's why people throw hoagies at them.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
So,
I did.
but the fables interdispersed with Batman and KG Beast fighting. So, in the end...
I had a problem with the fight.
What was your problem with the fight?
I don't see Batman getting taken out with the hook. Maybe I don't
see that. I'm just saying I don't see that
packing enough of a wallop knock him backwards as much as it did.
Okay, but also remember that
what he had to do to get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he had to walk. According to him, 300.
But him
clicks.
Going like that and hitting him with the hook part of the arm, I don't see having the big blow effect as a punch would.
Okay. So a 10K is 6.25 miles. He walked 300.
I get it.
So he just walked 180 miles in the snow and ice.
He's Batman.
I get that, but...
just every time he got hit with that,
And it is KG Beast. It's, if it was Maxi Zeus, I'd say, okay. Or Kite Man, I'd be like, yeah, I know. But, he's not called KG Beast because he can't fight.
And you figure the force he can swing with that thing because it's not like he's going to feel, if it was his actual, hand.
I get that, but I'm just saying, if it was the arm part, the wood part, yes. But it was just that metal end, that was all.
Well, maybe it didn't actually get him. He was just doubled over in laughter because he's like, you're trying to hit me with a hook.
Okay, that's all. That I just found that odd. That was
okay. But then he breaks KG Beast's neck. And he just leaves him laying there.
Yeah, I found that a little odd.
In the snow and ice, he's like, well, I got a 300-mile walk ahead of me, so,
find your own help.
Yeah, sucks to be you, dude. Peace out.
So now he's going to be a White Walker.
Maybe. I don't know. It didn't really end anything.
No.
Which was...
don't know who hired KG Beast.
Well, and it said, conclusion. This was the conclusion of that arc. But it really didn't do anything. It didn't move the story along. It was almost like, okay, Tom King's taking a break. We'll just go through this in there. And it wasn't it was bad. It's just, nothing happened. But the other bookend of it was... Bruce had asked his father to read him the same story when he was a kid. So I don't know if it was really not that different after all. You can almost hear la 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 in the background.
That was an interesting way how he broke KBG's neck too, with the Gatling shooting the Gatling gun. I thought that was kind of huh.
Batman doesn't believe in guns.
Yeah.
Except for when he does.
Yeah.
it was alright. The whole... I liked where it was going in the last issue. I thought there was going to be more to it. And that's why I think it was just a bit of a letdown. Yeah. So. But such is life.
Spencer, you read more than one?
Yes. Okay. Gideon Falls.
Hey, I got bought six this week.
Did you read Gideon
Falls? I did read that. Yeah.
Starting off the new story arc. Really diving in now to kind of the different, opening up the world a little bit more now, and getting a little bit of a back history on what's the main character's name? The with the mask.
Is it Norton?
Yeah, Norton. Yeah. And how they make it seem like he... Because at the end of the last arc, they made it seem like they're from, two different universes?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
There's two different Gideon Falls, and I don't know if they're on just different parts of the country or if they're different universes or parallel dimensions or something like that. But it seems like it came from that one. Is why he can't remember who he is and stuff like that, and just because one psychiatrist believes him now. She's seen the barn and is trying to help him, and these other doctors show up and take him away. Did that one doctor, was it just me, or did he look like the priest from the other Gideon Falls?
Yeah,
I couldn't tell if that was something they made on purpose or if it was just another elderly balding person. But
yeah, it gives me something to think about because I'm not really the story's really confusing me of what's of what's what and what's going on.
But I've been enjoying it, and the art's fantastic, and
yeah.
And then everything.
Well, they're building. They have to build. He wants to build the Black Barn, too.
Yeah.
That's why he's been collecting all these pieces. And he gets the psychiatrist to help him in this.
Yeah, and they're... and then over on the other side, in the other Gideon Falls, the detective thinks that she might have figured out what happened to her brother, but they think that their bus driver might have took him, and but I'm thinking maybe what I think might have happened, and I don't know, because now maybe not because thinking about it, they don't really look alike, but I was thinking maybe if the sheriff and Newton are somehow related, like if they're the brother and sister, but okay. I don't think that when they showed him on the bus, I don't think they look like him, like I can't remember, but definitely a good series. Again, yeah. If you're a Lemire fan, you should definitely be definitely should be checking it out.
Oh yeah.
Green Lanterns.
I read that.
Last issue of the series. Starts with like this family in Central City. It's like, oh hey, look, there's a Green Lantern. You think I could get his autograph if he death just gets me. It
wasn't a Green Lantern.
Superman.
I hate when that happens.
Right.
Yeah. Oops.
Well, it's not like it's even the first time it's happened to Coast City.
Awkward.
So Cyborg Superman's trying to destroy, you know, Central City again and try to make it stick, and Hal shows up, they have this huge, you know, fight, and with Cyborg Superman gone, the other Lanterns are kind of able to take control of the situation on Mogo and get things handled there, to where some other Lanterns are able to leave and help Jordan, you know, fight off Cyborg Superman. Now, of course, they don't capture him. He's able to escape, but they stop, you know, the destruction of Coast City. They set up the end of this sets up a lot of different stuff going on. Like the Guardian said that they're moving back to Oa there, just so Mogo has a chance to heal after everything that's happened in this last story arc. Jessica Cruz is gonna go out, and you know, she's leaving her partnership with Baz, which is, I think, leads into that, what she's in the Justice League Odyssey book. I think that's how, you know, I explain her being in there.
Right, right.
But I thought it was a pretty good end to the, you know, to the series.
Mm-hmm.
Though, depending on how, you know, that Morrison run is gonna go, I would have liked them to have another Green Lantern book with his seeming to focus mostly on Hal Jordan. I just like there to be another Green Lantern book just for, since there's so many different characters.
Right.
But you never know. I mean, they're probably bringing it back.
We might get another core book after Morrison.
Yeah, they might bring it back, you know, here in a couple months. But I thought this one would have been a good, like, how you were saying this should have been the foil issue. I think this cover would have been a
cool. Yeah, I think it was definitely drawn for foil.
Would have been a cool foil cover.
Yeah.
Cover.
Yeah.
Where
the other one was just kind of a generic.
Yeah. Just them kind of all flying in, like, space.
Yeah.
And then I'll go with Nightwing.
What? You read Nightwing?
I read Nightwing.
With Rick Grayson?
Rick Grayson. Which they don't even 100% stick to, because, like, he goes by it and, like, all the new people in his life call him that. But, like, in this issue, Alfred's there and talked to him. And, like, he'll refer to him as Rick where he's talking to him, but, like, by himself, he still refers to him as, like, you know, Master Dick or Grace, like, you know, and stuff like that. So they're not even sticking to it 100%. But it starts off with this detective who finds the
at the end of the last issue, he said, "I'm throwing away my past," and he
burns his hideout,
drops gasoline, and burns down his hideout.
But apparently, doesn't do a good job of burning it down because everything's still there. But this detective finds it.
Detective has like all his uniforms and, you know, like in the Batcave, you know, in the glass case thing. Those are all still fine.
He's the only one down there. He comes back up. The fire chief comes over and he's like, everything's ash down there. There's no need to, you know, the fire's out. There's no need to go down there and stuff like that. And then it jumps to Rick Grayson having a nightmare in a bar that he's passed out in.
But he hadn't even had his first beer, so it's a little weird that he had fallen asleep.
Yeah. He's a lightweight.
Yeah, he probably hasn't done too much drinking prior to this, so.
Well, because he mentions that he spilled his first beer. Yeah.
But they don't even really do too much with him, really.
Alfred's there trying to make sure he's okay, and he's like, yeah, I'm good, and, you know, I don't want to fill in this missing time. I want to move forward. I'm glad I'm a blank slate. I don't remember anything of my past. Alfred's trying to, you know, help take care of him, you know, give him money, pay off his bar tab, things like that.
He does beat the crap out of this one guy.
Well, what happened then, he's driving and he stops, I forget where he stopped, but he's like, he's looking at the window, like his mom's stuff that he had pawned or something.
Yeah, because he still remembers, that's one thing that he still remembers is like his childhood in the circus and stuff like that is one of the things that he can still clearly remember. And yeah, like you said, there was something that he pawned off that he's trying to get the money back, and these thugs come up to try to rob him and stuff, and he's like, the money's in the cab, take it, you know, I don't want any trouble. He's like, well, I want the cab too, give me the keys, and he roundhouse kicks him, and is just like, completely just like, beats the crap out of this guy and then kind of like snaps out of it and he's laying there all bloody, so like he's having like these trauma kind of like issues with remembering, like he, I guess he's, you know, kind of like losing time and that kind of stuff. And the issue ends with the detective from earlier in the issue who finds the burned down hideout. He's back and he puts on the Nightwing costume and is going to be the new Nightwing, but he, you know, he has a gun and different stuff like that. Which I thought this would have been a good opportunity where they could have introduced Nightwing, Wing from the old Chuck Dixon run with the, because they had like two Nightwings running around in the beginning of that for a while. If anybody was ever read that kind of stuff, I thought that would probably have been but he was like a you know, more violent kind of character and stuff like that. But so I guess we're gonna have this Nightwing and Rick Grayson running around at the same time, so don't know where that's gonna go, but that's it. That's okay. It.
Colin,
I gotta carry the weight. Here we go. Okay. I guess we'll start. Justice League was the beginning of Drowned Earth. And in this, now I'm behind probably five issues on Justice League, so I kind of jumped into this. Batman is apparently in a full body cast, so he's not allowed out. He's stuck in the Watchtower or the Hall of Justice, wherever they are now. And then everybody else is out and about, and weird stuff is going on. I forget exactly, because then I read Aquaman and Titan, so I'm trying not to give away stuff. I'm trying not to blur it all together. But I read all three of them this morning. Did you read it, Spencer?
Yeah, I read.
Okay, what happened in Justice League? I don't remember exactly what happened. I remember the bad guy showing up. Oh, it was Francis Manapul art, which was really, really good.
Wonder Woman and Aquaman are looking for
Ships. They have this ship. And yeah, yes. Okay.
Yeah. And they have Firestorm helping them.
Yeah, they have this, he has like this ship in a bottle that was Poseidon's. Apparently Poseidon's dead. And they have the ship in a bottle, and as soon as they get near this thing that they're looking for, the ship comes to life. So they're trying to find this It's basically a ship that has, like, the graveyard of the gods inside of it. And that's what they're looking for. And finally, they find it. They realize it's encased in, like, this metallic stuff, that, which makes it a mirror, almost, so you can't see it. So other people are there looking for it, but only they can see it because they have this magic thing. Then Wonder Woman looks at it, and it looks like wood, but this one thing is made out of Amazonian metal. And she strikes it, and it breaks open, and it's like a trident.
It's supposed to be like a key.
Or a key or something like that. And all of a sudden this creature comes out. And its mouth is like a dimensional portal. And its tongue comes out. And as soon as it touches Firestorm, all of a sudden he turns into like this creepy sea monster thing. So they're like, don't let it touch you. Whatever you do, don't let it touch you. Well, it gets a hold of Aquaman. And I guess it swallows him and sends him through this dimensional portal. So he ends up with these other people. While everybody's still fighting, and it turns out that there's this story where with Orion or Arion, the defender of Atlantis before it sank, there was this big thing, and he called in all the gods to come help, or in all, you know, people from outer space to come help Earth defend it. And so unfortunately, that also called in the bad guys, and they had a big fight. So these three leaders introduce themselves to Aquaman, saying, you know, that they've heard the call, all this stuff. And he goes, good, then we, you know, we can make a union to fight. And they kind of laugh at him, going, no, we're not here to help you. We're the invaders. Dun, dun, dun! So that was the end of Justice League. Then as it goes into Aquaman, which came out the same week, did you read that?
I didn't read it. I didn't get a chance to grab it.
But basically,
I think you guys were out of it, I think, by the time I
got it. Well, I haven't. So, in Aquaman, basically, Atlanta was raised back to the surface during Metal, and everybody's there, and all of a sudden the water starts churning, and anybody who's in the water gets turned into these creatures. And Mira is fighting, trying to protect Atlantis, and is trying to hold back the water, which has this, you know, poison that turns people. But eventually, and she's talking with the Justice League, and Justice League is like, we understand what you're doing, but this is a world problem, not just an Atlantis problem, and you're the only one who can help, because they've lost contact with most of the other Justice Leaguers. Batman's talking to her from inside the Hall of Justice. And then it continues on in Titans this week, which is just the Titans dealing with it. It doesn't tie into anything bigger.
I think that's for, like, Aqualad, but...
Tempest.
Name? Tempest. Yeah.
So that goes into that. So, and then Batman. Okay. So I don't want to get too much. I don't, since you haven't read it. Just two more. I read Exosisters. This is a new one, I believe, from Image, about these two girls, Kate and Kate, who, if your loved one's soul gets taken to hell, they can go back and get it for you for a price.
There was another series like that a few years ago.
Okay.
What the hell was it? It was like, but it wasn't two sisters. It was like a special army team that went down.
No, I remember. Yeah, it was from Oni. I don't remember what it was called, but yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. No, this is a little different. This is a lot more tongue-in-cheek humor. Like, they make a door, and they go down there, and some guy attacks him. It's like, seriously? And then, you know, just kind of bat him away. But in the big twist is, like, the one's real uptight and staid, the other one's more, you know, rocker, you know, like that. And one's with a Kate with a K, one's Kate with a C. And
I already hate them.
Yeah. But then Mom shows up and basically tells them that, no, actually, you're not sisters, you're her soul. So, Yeah, so, like, it starts off with one guy, all of a sudden this, they're getting married, and this demon comes along and takes him, but none of the guests remember, and they just think that she got stood up at the altar, and so she hires them to find him. Well, it turns out he wasn't kidnapped, he was actually paid a lot of money by this demon who preys on sorrow. And so it's feeding on her, her sorrow for losing, for him being gone, and he's going to get this big payout and stuff. And,
okay.
But it didn't work because they found him. And as soon as he stops feeding, the money disappears as well. So it was kind of funny. But it's very much a humor book, or more tongue-in-cheek. But that was fun. And then, similar themes, Lucifer number one, part of the Sandman universe. Yeah, there's really no way to describe it. It's just Lucifer trying to figure out what exactly is going on. He's kind of lost in trying to figure out what's going on. But it was good.
Okay.
But there's no way to summarize it. So, that's all I read.
Well.
And what you guys read, so.
Well, then what's coming out next week, Colin?
Books. It's a fifth week, so it's a little bit different.
A lot of annuals.
A lot of annuals and things. So we have the Avengers Halloween special. We have Batman Secret Files number one. This is by a lot of like new writers and stuff doing little stories
okay.
for Batman. Britannia Lost Eagles of Rome number four is coming out from Valiant. Deathstroke Yogi Bear special. DC's giving us the Looney Tunes ones again.
Deathstroke.
Or not Looney Tunes. Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera ones. We have Doom Patrol 12. Believe it or not, they said it would never come. It's here. This is another one from Ahoy, and I like the idea behind this one. It's Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. And it's basically a cross between Tales from the Crypt and Drunk History.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's horror stories with a drunken twist. Extermination Part 4, that's the X-Men event. We have Green Lantern Huckleberry Hound special. Hatchet Vengeance, which is spinning off from the other Hatchet series. Heroes in Crisis 2 is coming.
Oh, nice.
We have Hex Wives, which is a new one from Vertigo, about these witches who were living peacefully as just housewives, because when everything was peaceful and the warlocks were gone, but now something's happened and they're starting to remember. Infinity Wars Iron Hammer number 2. Justice League Dark Wonder Woman The Witching Hour. This is the finale of that. Justice League Aquaman Drowned Earth. This is the official beginning of the event. Midnight Mystery. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I ordered a bunch of them. Oh, this is an alternate book. It's $1.50. Nightwing Magilla Gorilla special. I'm going to assume this is before the headshot. Old Man Logan 50, which is the last issue of Old Man Logan's. If you want to see what happens to Old Man Logan,
check
this one out. Planet of the Apes Time of Man is a new one. I believe that's probably from Boom. Spider Force. Every time I see it, I just keep thinking of Space Force. So.
Yeah.
Stranger Things number 2. I like number 1 a lot. Superman Top Cat special. Terrifics Annual. Vault of Spiders, because you can never have enough spiders. This is part of the Spider-Geddon storyline. What if Magic, about what if she was Sorcerer Supreme. X-Men Black Emma Frost. Not Black Emma Frost. I keep making that mistake. Just X-Men Black,
Wasn't she Sorcerer Supreme?
Magic?
Yeah.
Ileana? Not that I'm aware of.
I thought she was.
I think that's what this is.
In Aaron's run, I thought she was for some time.
Okay.
Dave, I know you read that.
Yeah, I don't remember, honestly.
I seem to remember something where she was. I could be wrong, but I...
Yeah, I'm...
Magic.
And then the last one is X-Men Grand Design, the big oversized collection. So that's what's coming next week. Lots going on at the store. Saturday is Halloween Comic Fest. I have a bunch of books to give away. We'll do a costume contest, big Halloween theme sale coming up. Also, I've decided to do the midnight release for Green Lantern. So that is on... November 6th, Tuesday, November 6th at midnight, we'll have a midnight release for Green Lantern. Just because I ordered a lot, and I'm like, you know what, let's do it for this one. I'm not doing it the following week for Uncanny X-Men, only because I didn't order a lot of that, because it's an $8 book, and that seemed cray-cray.
So they're going to have Uncanny X-Men come out before they're done with the Extermination series?
Maybe, because 4 is next week, yeah. So they may get...
They may sneak it in.
That just seems like that
I hear you.
Is going to lead into that, what it seemed like.
You'd think.
Can't plan these things.
Right. But so, yeah, so we're doing the midnight release on the 6th. And that's all we have. And then Black Friday's coming up 20-something.
We're still a month away for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't plan that far.
I do not plan that. You are correct. I figured I'd better start talking about the midnight release. Only because they did a special midnight release variant. I'm like, well, gosh, let's see. I ordered 70 of the main cover, and I have about 50 holds. And then I ordered 30 of the second cover, which is a Frank Quietly cover. And then they did a midnight release cover, and I ordered another 30 of that. And I'm like, well, wait, now I have 130 copies coming. We might as well do the midnight release. My other thought on the Uncanny X-Men is people are less likely to order. There's like 16 covers. It's an $8 book, and I didn't order a lot. You know, so it's like I don't see people buying multiple covers, and you know, it just didn't seem.
They're not going to be Batman riding on a T-Rex, so
right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So I fear this Morrison Green Lantern. We'll see how it goes, and you know, I have zero, I don't have a lot of expectation for it.
expectation?
Well, no, but I mean, like Doomsday Clock, I hoped would be big, and the Metal I thought would be big. This one, who knows? But I can come out. It's midnight. You know.
With Marvel's new book, have low expectations.
No. So that's what we got going on here. I think that's everything. So, as always, you can find me here, PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram is at PGH Comics. And, Pat.
That's podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See ya.